Blog Talk Radio.
Rise and roar, manifesting, innovating, creative sons of Yah, it's a new day. The Father has blessed us another time to see another day, to do the thing that we've purposed to do. And I was here this morning with the Kingdom Ambassador of the World, and the intercession is now on the way. Now there is a divine frequency, and it's a warfare frequency that comes out of the sun. God downloaded that to us. That's not something that we just could have on our own. It's because of our connection. It's because of where we come from. There is a resounding, a sound that comes from us that emanates from us that causes us to rebound. Or if I need to use another word for you to understand it, there's a sound that you make that causes a bounce back. And there's a sound that you're going to make that causes a response. Because of the response, and the cry of sons has been heard by the Father. And understand that you have heavenly hosts that are in support of the movement and the momentum that the Father has established for your life. You're not in this thing by yourself. It's a partnership. It's a divine partnership. So you never have to figure it out or try to work it out by yourself. You just simply have to follow the guidelines, the instructions that have been set for you so that you can see the success that has already been prepared for you. I was talking to somebody that I love yesterday, and as I was talking about this thing about how we are to come into this alignment with the Father, it's, you know, every time I think about it, it's such a simple thing. It's so simple that we're missing it. It's so simple that it's going over our heads. It's so simple. When you see how we function as parents, those of you that are parents, identify with this. When you see how we function as parents, you can understand how the Father functions. Because we get what we do from Him. When we're doing the right things, when we're doing righteous things, when we're, you know, training the children up, when we're putting them in positions where they can grow and mature, where they can have more responsibility, but we're watching them and we're holding their hand and walking them through a growth process. This is exactly what the Father does for us. And if they've got siblings, then you know how this works, right? You establish a specific thing from the oldest down, and in that way, you have extra eyes, you have extra ears, you have extra voice and an extra image in the house that begins to image what you're saying so that the others can follow, right? So here's the thing. This transition, this changing of positions, it begins in the mind. It begins in the mind. And the Father's calling us into a place where we're very mindful of what he's speaking to us. No, you cannot respond to something you cannot hear. Neither can you respond to something that you can't identify with. And I think a lot of times, just to be quite honest with you, many of you, if you're missing His voice, if you're feeling like you're not hearing Him, it's because you're not identifying with Him. The relationship needs to undergo some it needs to undergo some you need to identify some things. You need to review some things. I woke up this morning and I was kind of in a pretzel position because I got grandkids that are in the same vicinity of me, so some of them lay under me when they sleep. And I've been working up for a couple of days, working out of different muscles within my body. I've been doing push-ups, which I haven't done in a little while. Shame on me, right? But haven't done them in a little while. And so I really pushed my body to the limit a couple of days ago. And so yesterday, as I was trying to do push-ups, my body was like, you got 10 out. I think you better stop. I tried to do some more, and my body was just weak from all of the pressure I put it under the other day. That doesn't mean that you stop doing push-ups completely because you're weak. It means that you need to go to another muscle group. So I'm going to work my lower muscles today and not the upper muscles. I'm going to let those rest and recover, right? We were talking about rest and recovery a little bit the other day. But this has everything to do with this resounding and rebounding, this sound that you're supposed to release, that's supposed to bring you back, that brings you back from some things because there's a cry that's heard and then there is aid that comes. And in this thing, when I woke up this morning, I heard the Father specifically speaking about the pain. I don't remember the exact words because I was going to write it down, but the show was so close, I didn't get a chance to get into the episode info section to write it down. And I was moving about trying to get, you know, my body where it needed to be and my voice where it needed to be so I could talk. But it was something about the pain and the gain, right? Like, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, your pain is predictable. You got to identify the purpose of the pain, but the pain is predictable, right? The pain predicts something for you. I'm going to open up the line because I know you're going to want to share. And the thing about mankind that we don't want to deal with pain because we dealt with trauma of different kinds of pain. Some of the pain that people have placed us under, some of that pain we have produced ourselves and put us under our own set of pain, right? Like I'm working out, right? So I feel the pain of this workout. That's me doing something, but it's for a purpose, right? The purpose is to rebuild, to restructure my body, to take my body back to a place, really beyond the place that I had it at before it was a goal, but to take it to a specific place that I had it at. And it's going to take me doing what I'm doing in order for it to arrive because it's predictable. The pain is predictable. I know this pain is telling me you have overworked this area. Now, you may have gotten some gains and you may get some gains from that overworking, but you're going to need to rest and recover. And while you're resting and recover, go and wear out some other parts, you know? Sometimes you got to put your body in a place, you know, because you're setting yourself in a place. So you're going after something. You put yourself in that position, and then you go after it, and then you just kind of overwork it. You overdo it. Well, here's the thing. You know you got to do it. So it's first having the mindset to do it and then to go through it because there's going to be some talk back in those muscle groups that you're not using. So if you're not using spiritual muscle groups, if you're not in prayer, if you're not in meditation of the word, if you're not reading, if you're not studying, and notice I defined all of those separately. If you're not giving, if you're not fasting, I name when you pray, the word says when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. So I even name those because those are indicative of who the sons are. Those are definitions. That is a defining marker of sonship in the kingdom. The fasting place, the praying place, and the giving place, right? All these things are definitions. They define. They are attributes. That's the word I'm looking for this morning. The attributes of sonship. And you'll notice that even so, it the fruit of who you are is going to define what you serve because those are also attributes of sonship in other kingdoms. Prayer, fasting, and giving. You know, I can give you some examples now. You know companies all across the world that give, but they have sinister situations behind their leadership and who they are, and the people that work for them don't understand the sinister nature of the company. Not all of them, people that are at the helm, but people that are just everyday 9-to-5ers may not understand that they're just making a paycheck, but they give, they have foundations and all of that, but their reason for giving is because they understand the system of money. They understand the system of giving. They understand that in order to receive, you have to plant something. So if you plant something, you're going to get more than what you planted. They understand those systems, so that's why they do it. They don't do it from a place of a heart that says, I want to help people, but it's more of I want to help myself. So it's also a tax write-off at the end of the year. So just giving you just some definition, since we brought up the whole sonship, fast, pray, and give, just want to make sure that we clarify the fact that those are not identifying markers for all of the sons of Yah. Those are just identifying markers of sonship, okay? So what kind of son is going to be defined by further measures, by further identification, okay? So here we are in this time, in this communication regarding the dark psychology of the 10 spies is where we started. And we'll see there. But the Father decided to give me the indication to lay foundation for this conversation, because it's one thing for us to get information, but the Father's best interest for us is that not that we only be informed, but that we be transformed. So there's a process. There's the inform, there's the reform, and then there's the transform. And so we've got to go through that whole process. So the foundation is for the building part of this thing. If we don't have a foundation, then we don't have anything to build on. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again, I'm pretty certain at this point that one of the other reasons why he backed me off of that just slightly is for me to consider some things, so that I know that if I decide to say this on here, I'm going to have to take this off immediately and go ahead and transcribe it, you know, the transcription and do what I got to do with it so that I can release what I need to release. So there's some responsibility there and some protection there, right? At the end of the day, these purposes may cause some pain, but the pains are predictable, and they announce to us that there's something either wrong or there's something right. When we have pain, let's talk about this for a moment. First of all, we don't want to be in pain. That's the first thing. We don't want that. It's like we try to avoid that like the plague. But if, in fact, we are, we live in an age, in a society, and in a day where people take medication instead of identifying the issue to correct it. We would much rather allow someone else to tell us what we need to do to fix the problem when the Father has already given us everything that we need that pertains to living. Like, that's across the board. Living a godly life, that's been provided. That's been provided. We separate these things, you know, and we can't separate them anymore, because he's already given us everything we needed. So we were talking about this yesterday, and I'm going to bring it up again today, that in your prayer time, there's a need to pray from the outside, from the inside out, and not the outside in. You're praying as if you're standing outside of something, when if you're connected to him, you're in him. The Master said, the Father in me and I in him. And if the Master has told us that this is the relationship that we're to have with the Father, and the Holy Spirit has been left with us and for us, then the Father is in us and we are in him. So therefore, when we speak or when we pray, when we're communicating with him, or when we're even communicating to things, to environments, to things, then the identification measures that the Father is in me. So I am empowered to do a thing. I have a grace for a thing. I have the ability, the capacity, because of what's in me. So the scripture says it like this: greater is he that is in you than he that is within the world. There is a greater in you. There is a greater in you. There is a treasure in you. All of these things have been brought up. And someone asked me a question yesterday, and they were like, why does the Father allow people to do this, that, and the other? And I said, the same reason that he allows us to do this, that, and the other. I said, if we judge every situation according to how we want to judge people's situations, we'd be gone already. We wouldn't have a chance. You know, we want the Father to just rise up and bop people on the head. But he loves all of his creation. So even when it comes to, I want to go back to what is his name, Cain. There are a couple of them, but I want to go back to Cain right now, right? Cain is of another seed. He's got a mixture going on in him. It was the mixture before the mixture happened, but it was still more of a human dominance in his genes than it was a giant dominance in his genes. But Cain had the spirit of the serpent. He had the spirit of his father. He functioned a certain way. But even with Cain, because Cain had some humanity that was connected to him, the father, when he sees that humanity, he understands that he created something. And when he sees something that resembles him in any way, he's trying to save it. He's giving it an opportunity. So even Cain, who was not the seed of Adam, he was a mixture. He was a mixture because I believe Cain and Abel were twins, just like a lot of people had twins in the biblical days. There were a lot of twins. But that was there was a relational dynamic between Eve and Adam, and also between Eve and this conversation of this, right? And so that seed was mixed. That was what the adversary was interested in doing from the beginning. And if you look at the conversation between the serpent and the woman in the garden, you'll notice that his whole intention was to contaminate, to influence, to bring some kind of mixture to the seed of the word that the Father had given her and Adam, to the seed that the Word had given Adam, because she was Adam too. So he separated, you know, so he gave her a specific name. But Adam is who they are. You know, they are the beginning. They are, you know, that man that was originated. That, so they were Adam. But at the end of the day, they felt like it wasn't enough. And I'm guaranteeing you that we have often lived like it wasn't enough. Now, I want to bring you up to speed so I can help you understand where I'm going with this. David understood that what he was picking up by that river when he decided to fight this giant, and we all have giants that we must fight. We all have things that corporately we need to come together to take down, and individually we must identify and destroy. He understood that those five smooth stones was enough, and that slingshot was enough, because he had been processed through some things to understand his weaponry. So we started out talking about the weaponry. I don't know if I started talking about it today, but there's a weaponry that prayer is. But it's, I think this was yesterday. Praying from the outside, you know, not the outside, but the inside out instead of the outside in. And so identifying your weaponry and knowing that it is enough to accomplish whatever the victory is that you need for the thing that's opposing you, whatever it is. But it's an unwavering position. And there's a lot of wavering in the step of the next minute you go. 1 minute you leave, the next minute you feel like you got to figure out and work it out. You know, and saying like, pick a side. You know, pick one. If you pick one, then I can deal with you picking one. You know, it's the uncertainty that's just a terrible place to be. Anybody else ever been in that place with people, uncertainty, you know, concerning you? They're not sure how they want to deal with you or whether they want to deal with you. And it's like, no, just pick a side. I'm either in or I'm out. You're either with me or you're not. You know, don't put me in the uncertainty place. Don't put me there, because that's a place of limbo. And just like we don't want to be in limbo in the lives of people that are around us, the Father certainly doesn't want that place. This is the place that the Israelites kept him. They kept him in a place of limbo. Sometimes I believe you, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I love you, sometimes I won't. And it's like, man, he's not interested in that position. You know, he responds to the power that's working in us. So if your power is off, you get no electricity. If your power is off, then the energy that you need to succeed is just not, it's not there. It's not there. It's not available to you. It's not that it's not accessible, but if you don't access it, then you will not have the power or the strength that you need to do whatever it is that you're being called to do. I woke up this morning just slightly in a place because I was dealing with my granddaughter yesterday. I was really praying and asking the Father, if any of this that I'm dealing with right now is you showing me, then I need to deal with that. You know, sometimes children are showing you yourself. And they might not be showing me. They might be showing me other people that they're more, you know, that they're around more, and that's cool too. But there still needs to be some correction that's brought. But even in that correction, there was a sensitivity in me to identify that things are properly working in me so that it'll be visible for them to see, you know, the disciplines and, you know, whatever it is that I'm being called to, they'll see that process. Now, that's so important. And I believe that when the Father created a son to sin, when he conceived in the woman the son that he would use to prove himself and to image himself, the complete brightness of who he is, when he did that, he had an expectation, and we talked about expectations yesterday. It's the same expectation you can have in your process and your pain and anything else. You have to have some form of expectation because that pain is announcing something to you. That pain could be announcing that something is overworked and you might need to work another area, or that pain could be announcing that you need to stop doing some things that you're doing and go in a completely different direction. But even in going in a different direction, often there is pain there. There's pain there. I'm going to give you a simple example, a very practical example. When you are used to doing a thing a certain way, let's deal with diet. If your dietary function is a certain way, if you decide you want to change how you're functioning, your body is now going to speak to you. Your body is going to talk to you. Your mind is going to say things to you. Now, the core of you, I said this to somebody yesterday, your core knows truth. It's acquainted with what the realities are. Your core is, right? Because we live out of the abundance of the heart. The heart is the core. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's where the issues flow from. So the adversary wants to deal with how you're moving and what you're doing so he can contaminate the core. But there's still a measure of truth that you understand and know from this place, but you're just not willing to do what it takes because you're considering the pain and not the gain. You want the gains, but you don't want the pain that goes with those gains. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you can experience, because see, here's the thing about experiencing that pain. Pain on one side is pain on the other side. Here's the experience of experiencing this pain, though. Once you see the gains, you're unstoppable. Once you get in a momentum, once you start moving and you get in that momentum, then you're settled. It's like you have to get past the place where your brain is talking to your body, telling you you want something or you need something. It's a matter of fact, a scientific fact, that most of the time when people's stomachs are growling, you really need water, you don't need food. But if you've been trained that when your stomach growls, you're hungry, then you're going to eat. And the reality is that there are breaks that the body needs, regular breaks. It doesn't need to consistently, constantly being fed. You know, this is why we have these issues that we have in America on all levels, on all levels. It's not just what we're eating now, but it's what's eating us at the same time because of what we're putting in our mouth, you know. What's eating us, what's damaging us, what's putting us in a position that we say we don't want to be in, but we don't want the pain of backing off of what we do. So the children of Israel, I'm thinking about their position. Now, the Father has a track record with them. He's proven that he'll fight for them. He's proven who he is for them. He's proven his love for them. But they get to a place, and instead of just following his instructions, they want to examine the instruction. They want to examine it. And in the examination period, they come back a little messed up. We should say a lot messed up, because that messed up that they came back with affected a whole nation. It affected a whole generation of people. that were unable to enter into the promise because of how they saw it, how they heard it, what they believed about it. They refused to believe the words of the leader, even though the leader had shown them and proven to them. The Father had proven to them that he was with Moshe, but they got to this place, heard these words, and it was the same thing with many other people before them. It turned them in another direction. It changed their position. It changed their posture. They weren't unable to possess this thing because they were considering potential pains that might come to them, not considering the Father's protection, his direction. None of what he had already done was considered, just the pain of the thing. So I woke up this morning with that pain. It was my process. I was kind of pretzeled, you know, with my grandson up under me, just pretzeled. And the crazy thing about it was I sent my daughter a text, but she was asleep herself, so she didn't get the text. She didn't hear the text. But I said help because I needed some help. I thought I needed a little help to try to get out of this position I was in so I could get past him. But I worked it out. The Father helped me. He sent me angelic agencies to get me out of this knot that I was in, this bind that I was in. But I'm literally feeling the pain of that process right now, and it's amazing. It's amazing. We have to get past the pain, and if we're going to get to that dream, we have to continue in the way that we start. It's a discipline. We've been talking about discipline, and it's not a self-discipline. It is a discipline. I'm moving the self thing out of the way, even though it is our responsibility to allow the discipline. We have to choose the discipline, right? But when we choose that discipline, if we're choosing the righteous thing, then it's the Father giving us a discipline. And so we're just simply following instructions, directions that are set before us. So something I'm really trying to enforce in my granddaughter, that you're of the age where you just need to simply follow directions. You don't have to have any ideas about it, any belief system about it. It's just the Father has placed adults in your life so that you could follow directions and instructions to get to the success that you need. And that success at this point is not having to deal with the disciplinary actions that come as a result of you doing something other than what you're supposed to do. I understand that, you know, even in that, when we're doing our own thing, doing the opposite, there's pain there. So it's pain on all sides of the fence is what I'm trying to tell you at the end of the day. There's some form of discomfort, some form of pain. You got to pick your pain. If you're going to grow in any area, whether it's grow in the opposite direction, grow in a negative direction, grow in a positive direction, you have to pick your pain because there's going to be some discomfort. There's going to be some challenge there. You just have to pick it. And a lot of times it seems easier to do the thing that you've been doing, but it only seems easier because you have muscle memory for it and that's what you've been doing. Not necessarily easier, it's just a habit. It really is much easier just to do what the Father is saying, do without all the extra. That's the other thing I'm doing in the season. Stop all the extra and just follow the instruction. This is what the Father was talking to them. Listen, you don't have to do the extra. Just if you just follow the instruction, you'll reach the success that I've already prepared for you. You know, that's that knowing that we're praying and having communication from the inside out and not the outside in, because we know He's with us. Not with us as in by us, but in us. That's a big difference. We're treating the Father like He's just walking with us. You know, we see stuff like footsteps in the sand, and those things are really neat. You see those prayers, and so, you know, we get that. But you have to understand, if He's carrying you, He's not just carrying you, but He's in you. There's capacity in you, not just to support you or to carry you, but that's in you to guide you. And so, you know, putting these puzzle pieces together, you know, it's very necessary to have the right perspective in the relationship so that we are not missing the moments. We're not missing the movement. We're not missing what the Father is saying. He doesn't have to question where we are because He's used to having us in a place and looking for us, you know, to share what's going on with us because we're just not where we need to be. We're not where we need to be. Good morning to everybody that's on the line. I'm going to open up your lines for a moment. If you got something to share, you can. I'm not going to hold you guys long today. But I did want to come and just share what was on my heart and my mind this morning before we actually share a bit of conversation and intercession this morning on another level. You know, it's really hard to explain sometimes some of the things that the Father says. We got to find the ear for the language. We got to mature into the place of the language. Often he'll bring it right while we're acknowledging that we don't have the language for that. I don't know how to give the language for that. I hear what you're telling me to do, but I don't quite sometimes understand how to express that in a language that people can understand. I understand it to follow. It's like knowing your way somewhere and not being able to give directions to other people, but you know how to get there because you know the route. You visibly, you know how to get there. But to tell you what road to take and where to turn, I don't know, because I'm just used to driving it and not used to giving directions for it. So there are things the Father is saying this season. Sometimes we just don't have the directions for, we don't know, have the language for it, but we know how to get there. And so the Father is working on the language of the Son so that we can share what we need to share so that other people can get there. They can get there. He has an expectation. He does. The line is open. You can jump in anytime. He has an expectation for us in this season. And we should have an expectation of him. That's how relationships work. You know, the expectation of Israel should have been, when they got to that promise, is that he's going to do just what he's always done. You know?
Good morning. Like,
good morning, Mother. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Oh, that's blessed. Rough. Yeah. Rough.
Thank you. Listening to you, it brought back the memory, you know, talking about the pain and the exercise, and it brought back the memory when I had my daughter in braces. And it always, always amazed me when I took her in. Like, she had teeth growing out of the roof of her mouth.
Wow.
At a young age, you know, instead of the big teeth pushing the baby teeth out, the two front teeth, they were behind them growing out of the roof of her mouth. And so what they were telling me was, if she was at the age at that time that they could correct it, but had I let her get older, they would have had to do surgery to correct that. Charming.
I said, that's so good. I'm hearing what you're saying, yeah.
But what amazed me, my daughter wore braces twice. She wore them twice. I paid for braces twice. And when she went into braces the first time, she was so young that, you know, all of her adult teeth weren't in. But she needed that to correct what was going on in her mouth. So she had a wire in the roof of her mouth that I had to turn every night to widen the top part of her mouth. It had to be turned every night to gradually widen that. And had I not done that, they would have had to do surgery as she got older. But the amazing part to me, though, was how they could make her feel good about going through this process. You know, the attitude. They had her excited about this, and I'm like, this is painful. Are you kidding me? You know, there's nothing exciting about this, but they talked to her and had her in her head so excited about doing this, you know, and so it was like the attitude with what you go through, the things that you go through. Like the exercise, if we change our attitude and if we look at it from the right, you know, that's what I was hearing, you know, just listening to you. It brought all of that back to my memory, because I used to be amazed at how they would have her so excited about that painful process.
That's so good because we get that when we're in that fellowship, you know. And when we're engaging properly, you know, when we're engaging poorly, we're not going to get the right attitude. Mm-hmm. You can always gauge how you're engaging by, based on your attitude. If your attitude is bad, it's, you're missing something. You know, if your attitude is bad about your process, you're missing something. It's some engagement on some level. And we could say, oh, well, you know, we are going to have feelings about things, but how we feel about it, how we think about it, is ultimately indicative of who we are and how we function in the relationship. You know, if it's a complaint, we don't trust. It's just serious. If there are complaints, mm-hmm. then there's no trust. If there's fear, then there's no faith.
And then the other thing you said yesterday was like at the end, you know, seeing the end and knowing that this is the end result of mm-hmm. me going through this process, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure yes. my daughter didn't see the end. Mm-hmm. You know, and I had mm-hmm. no idea that she was going to have to wear braces twice. I was so upset when I found out they was trying to put her in. I'm like, I paid for a car. This cost me a car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. But I already bought a car, and I'm buying a whole new car.
Right. I was like, are you serious? I was, you know, I wasn't happy to find out that she needed to do it again, but...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay. We do what we mm-hmm. got to do.
Right. And at some point, that's got to be the attitude, even if we don't mm-hmm. understand it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what has to be
and
done.
That goes back to show, if you know all the steps, you
yes.
don't. Sometimes you don't need to know all the steps. Because had mm-hmm. I, well, with my child, I would have did it. You know, but I'm saying sometimes if we know all the steps, we'll be hesitant.
Yes.
Like, do
yes.
I want to do all this? Do I want to do all this? Really?
Is it worth it?
Is this
is
what it,
it
takes?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Start weighing stuff. Well, let me think. Mm-hmm. You know, can we cut this corner? Maybe if we do this
mm-hmm.
this way, maybe we put this off for mm-hmm. a couple more months and then we could, you know. It's the same thing we do when we're supposed to be creating new habits. I'll start Sunday. I'll start next week. Why not
right,
today?
Right.
Why not
right.
today? Why not right now?
Just
what
keep putting it off.
What is the blockage?
I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow,
what,
when
yeah.
is tomorrow going?
What tomorrow? What tomorrow? Because today is what you're dealing with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
I'm going to
do it tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. And it's not even if tomorrow's not promised situation. People use that so frequently, you know. It's just wild. So it's also used to put people in the mindset of let me do what I enjoy because tomorrow ain't promised.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not
right.
letting you do this thing and go through this process. People really are living. This is the reality. I think I need to say this. This is reality. People are living to die. So because they're living to die and not living to live, they find all the excuses for what could kill them.
Oh, wow.
You know what
wow.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even realize that that's what they're doing. I'm going to eat this piece of cake. I know this is going to tip the scale. I know this is going to cause me some kind of pain, you know, whether it's in my physical.
All right, I'm going to just suffer. I'm just going to suffer.
I'm going to suffer.
Now, listen, you'll suffer with that, but you won't suffer with doing the right thing to make it right.
How
we're not willing
easier?
To say. Like, oh, I know this is going to hurt me. I'm going to suffer through this. Or, you know, I know what it's going to do to how it's going to make me feel after I eat it, but
mm-hmm.
I want it.
Mm-hmm. I want the feeling now. And when
mm-hmm.
we live based on that feeling, it's the thing that keeps us out of the promised place. It's the thing that keeps us out of the promise. Israel was living by their feeling. I feel like this is what I feel like. Now, I know what he said was true. And it was, we brought back the proof that it's true. But I feel like, but you already in the wilderness, first of all. You've already been through some processes where he proved that he's with you, for you, that he loves you. He ain't never just left you out here in this place to flounder. So why would he leave you under any circumstance that he called you into? He wouldn't. Even if it's dealing with your health, he did not leave you. We're not praying for health. We already possess it. It's a matter of laying hold of the help that he's already provided through the stripes that was on the back of the Mashiach. He said, by with his stripes, you were healed. That's a past tense.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a present tense. Mm-hmm. Were is past tense. Were is past tense. Now, if you are not, then that means you have not tapped into what you were. You're doing something opposite. And this is why the master often said to people when he healed them, go and sin no more. That was before the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? He gave the answer before he gave the full solution. He gave the answer before he was able to say you were. You say you are in that time. And when he said you are, now you are. Now go and don't do the thing to put you in this position no more. Don't go back to what you were doing that put you here. Stay away from there. Don't touch the stove no more. You'll burn your hand. You know, simple stuff. Don't keep touching. Now you can, how do you get a fascination for touching the stove? You know, people, it's just, these are spirits. And we don't really identify these things as spirits because it's how we're living every day and how we're functioning. But anything you can't live without, anything that's so habitual and it's not good for you that you got to have, that's a spirit. That's something driving you because it wants to do you harm. And you thinking, what's going to make me feel good for the moment? You know, it's the same spirit that was in operation in that camp. Well, we're settling on this side of the Jordan. So we're going to tell our people, we got the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Midianites. That's three out of those 10, right? It's seven left that would have jacked up before, but we know at least three so far out of those 10 had a motive for why they wasn't going over. They saw what they saw as beneficial for them and to them and did not see the value of going over into what he purposed for them. So I'm going to convince everybody. It ain't worth all that. We could just be right here. But here's the problem with that. You think you're not going to help everybody else fight? You just going to sit here in your land that you asking for while they go over without you after we've all been in our ranks together? We've all been together. We've all fought together. That was the system. That was the way it worked. That's the thing. It's about working the system. Things are really more predictable than what we give them credit for. We think the things are a mystery that is really something. Really something. It's just that we're not willing to do the simple thing because the simple thing is going to cause us some discomfort. It's going to change our habits. It's going to change how we feel for the moment. You know, when we're talking about in terms of food or dietary, you know, if we're being called into an intelligent way of living, then we understand that intelligent way of living does consist of fasting, even if it's intermittent fasting. I'm not talking about on a spiritual level right now. I'm talking about on just a natural physical level. Your body needs rest. It can't eat all day every day. It needs to rest. Several times out of the year, you probably need to stretch on that rest, you know, do reset. These things are necessary. When you go get an oil change, whatever oil's in there is likely dirty. They got to drain it all out if there's anything left, and they got to replenish it. Why? Because that's for the optimal functioning of the vehicle. If you just go in there and pour oil, clean oil, in dirty oil, then the clean oil going to be dirty, right? So there's got to be a refreshing, a resetting. This is what the Father was doing to Hebrew children in the wilderness. They talk about the flesh pots and the leeks and the watermelons and nothing wrong with the food they're talking about. But it's the position and them being ungrateful for what was given in this moment to sustain them. This is what you needed. And not only was it what you needed, but I provided it from a place you've never received from like that. I provided in a way you never seen things provided. We never thought about that or never think about those things. The Father literally allowed this substance to fall from the heavens, to be on the ground like the dew is on the leaves, and they had to collect it. And they, when they collected it, here's the other thought about that. He didn't get no instruction on how to use it. You ever think about that? He never gave instructions on how to use it. Blow by blow, play by play. No. They knew what to do with it. So all of the things that the relationship provided was directive and instructive. They just was picking and choosing which directions and instructions they wanted to follow. Picking and choosing. We hate this. You hate what? Being provided for? Having what you need to get to the place that you're going? This is not a permanent situation. See, it's not permanent. There are some habits that you're creating, but the pain is not permanent. Not on this level, it's not. Because if you haven't been doing anything, you're going to have pain. If you've not done push-ups, you're going to have some pain from some push-ups. Okay? But they've been in a cycle, in a system already. This should not have been painful for them to understand what he's saying to do and just to follow that instruction. Because remember back in Mount Sinai, they said whatever the Father says, we'll do it. Before they even heard it, right? Now they're there at the place he promised. The reason for bringing you out of your captivity was this. And they can't hear that because they feel like this is going to cause a pain that they don't want to undergo. What pain? Where were their scars from the battles before? Where? Where were the scars? Where were the wounded? Only time people died in battle was in disobedience. There were no deaths in those battles. We don't even consider that. You ever think about that? Those battles that they were fighting on their way from their captivity to their promise, nobody was dying at the hand of their adversaries. The Father said, I've given them over into your hands. You know how we say, oh, you know, wars produce casualties, right? There are always casualties of war. They went to war and they weren't losing anybody. The only time that they lost in battle was when they were disobedient in the camp. That's when they lost, when they didn't do what he said. So when he said go up and go in, and they sent in these spies and they come back, and 10 of them have a negative report that's influencing the nation or the tribes to do something different, right? Then when they go and say, you know what, we messed up, because the Father said, okay, go on back into the wilderness. They said, whoa, wait a minute. We're going to go up. I ain't with that now. I'm done with that because I literally have proven myself this whole time. And all the proof I've given you wasn't enough. You complained. You provoked me. Now I'm still giving you the promise, and you yet provoking me. Don't worry about it. Go into the wilderness and go on and wander. I'm going to give you what you said. You said I brought you out here to kill you. That's what I'm going to give you. No, we're going to go up. Moses said, don't do this. Why do you do this to displease the Lord? Why are you provoking him again? Why do you put yourself in this position? They want to go up. They're going up and fight. Now they don't know you going up without him. Because at this point, he's not with it. I don't ever want to put the Father in a position where he done told me something so many times that he say, okay, I'm not with it. I'm good. I don't ever want to do that. That's not how I want to live. Where I have heard him say something and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do something else. Now I'm going to do something different. And then, you know, he says, I'm good. I'm straight on that. You know what he did with Moshe? I'm straight on that. Okay, you did what you wanted to do when I told you to get to the rock. See to it, you stuck it. Okay, I'm good. So we good on certain terms, but you're not going into that land. You're not going to get to enjoy that because you dishonored me. I mean, you put me out there in front of the people like I'm some kind of chump, and that's not our relationship. I don't like that. That ain't what we're going to do. I'm trying to break them so that they can become what I need them to become, and you are exemplifying something other than that. And that's causing them, that's going to give them an excuse for why they behave the way they behave. So don't give them an excuse. The line is open. You guys can share. We'll be here for 17 days, 17 more days. I don't know. It probably will extend past that, but I can't speak for the Father. I can only speak. I mean, I can't speak for myself. I can only speak for him, what he's saying. So far, I know we're here for this time. So I'm just glad to be here and glad to follow the instruction. I'm not looking at notes this morning because I'm trying not to hold y'all long. Trying not to hold you long.
Good morning.
Hey, Elder, good morning to you.
I just want to say thank God for another day. Thank you both for sharing. Some parts when you were speaking went in and out for me. I was in motion. And I kind of forgot what I was going to say as I was coming in right now. Prophetess Von Tienen, but then we went somewhere else. But I'm going to try to recap it. I can't thank you for sharing when you were saying about the you were saying something about your daughter and before that, or whatever it was you were saying before that.
The braces?
No, it was before that, but
okay.
It has. I don't remember. It was. I was unconscious. But anyway, I'm gonna just say what's here for me to say right now. About the oh God. Well, for example, this morning when I got up, I'm on this regimen now with going. Well, I've made up my mind I'm going to do 3 days a week. I started out last Friday and Saturday. I didn't do Sunday. I went to church Sunday. Monday, I kind of relaxed a little bit. So I went Tuesday, and today is Thursday. But today, when I first woke up, it was like a struggle for me. But I kept telling myself, and I continuously talked to myself, so this not one of these things you're going to start and then stop. So
yeah.
This morning when I first woke up, it didn't really feel like going. But the other part of me said, no, you're going to get up and go. And I was there like about 10 minutes later than what I normally get there in the mornings. But I just thank God for the push. And then even when I first got in, like I had a little soreness. But I just worked my way through it. And I just know from past experiences that, and I know just like it's for me, it's for a whole lot of others. We have to continuously push ourselves through some things where we may need it, but don't want to do it. And then something one of you said later on in the conversation, you said if there's no faith, then fear sets in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told a person that the other day. She was going under for this weight thing that a lot of people are getting.
Gastric bypass.
Excuse me?
That gastric bypass surgery.
I don't know what she's doing, but she's doing something dealing with
mm-hmm.
the weight thing. So
mm-hmm.
I was telling her, she said, you know, Miss Vicki, I'm so scared. I said, well, if you're scared, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talking about going up under, getting gas and whatever else they do, and you scared? I said, I wouldn't do it. I said, all you got to do is start pushing back from the table, cut
mm-hmm.
down your portions,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't do nothing but lift your leg up twice a day and then move it, keep elevating your numbers and stuff, I said, then, you know, because I'm looking at how she eat now, and I just don't understand why she even trying to do something, because she can't even go to the bathroom without putting a donut in her hand. Who goes to the bathroom with food in your hand? I'm like, you know. So, you know, things like that, even that, I look at, and I'd be like, thank you, Lord. Those are things that I look at that I don't want to do. I don't want to get to that point. That, I mean, some things that I look at that I see around in my atmosphere, I think it's for me, for my learning as well.
Yeah.
And just not just seeing it, you know.
Yes.
Because I used to see a girl that I went to school with when I would visit a relative of mine. And when mm-hmm. I would see her, like the motion she went through just turning her car, I would say, Lord, please don't ever let me let myself go to that extent that I have to be like that, you know. And pray that that person gets better from where they're at. So, you know, for me, it's an ongoing thing. And I realized, too, that even though I am doing a little more workout, now next week the pool is going to be closed. So I'm already thinking ahead. Now either I'm going to have to find another one of their gyms that has a pool, or maybe, I don't know, just maybe because it's too far ahead because the father hasn't let me. Maybe he's going to lead me into another direction to go inside and do some other type of workout. Right now, I don't know. It's too far ahead. So I'm just waiting to see how he's going to direct me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing. It was something else when Vontina was sharing. It was like a light bulb went up in my head. But right now, I can't think about it. But I'm just glad to be here. I try to go and do my workout, get out, shower and stuff, and then get back in motion and time. I was a little bit behind today, but I still made it. So thank God the push was there. The push was there. And even though yesterday I wasn't on the phone part, but I was on the line listening in yesterday. So praise God for that.
Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's so amazing how our conversation impacts the other in one way or another. And that was really what the situation was with the Hebrew children, that conversation. But at the end of the day, it's got to be some kind of conversation that you're having with yourself, you know. And when you're having that conversation with yourself, you got to be settled in some things, because there will always be other chatter. There will always be other chatter. Sometimes that chatter is, when I'm referring to chatter, I'm talking about the stuff that's opposite of where you're going, opposite of what you're doing, indicative of the thing that makes excuses in us, you know, why we make excuses for what we do. No, the adversary has a plan, and that's to keep us out of that promised place. And whatever he needs to do that, he will. You know, he'll deal with your insufficiencies, the areas where you feel insufficient. He'll deal with those areas, and you'll confess over and over again, well, I'm not good at this, and I'm not good at that. Well, that can't be possible, because if he's in you and he knows all things, you're good at a whole bunch of stuff you don't know about. Just haven't tapped into that. You know, but if I could keep confessing, if I keep confessing what I'm not good at, then I'll talk myself out of a place, you know. And one of the businesses that I do, it's a lot of paperwork. You know, it's always something to fill out. It's always something to connect to. It's always, and if I got in the mode, I mean, one day I was really going through a process, and I was like, man, I had paperwork. And in saying I'm tired of paperwork, I'm in essence saying I'm tired of making money, because the way to the money is the paperwork. So you could be mad at the test, the paperwork, or whatever you want to get to, but you're not going to advance without it. You understand? You're going to need to read to succeed. I told somebody I love very dearly the other day, and it's a lot of people that don't feel like they don't like to read, or I don't like to do this. But the truth of the matter is that if you read 2 or 3 pages a day, if it's a 100-something page book, in 2 weeks you'll be done with the whole book. You know? But you've read it in 2 weeks. If it's 52 weeks, then you could read quite a few books in 52 weeks if you're doing it 2 weeks at a time on one book. But now you're creating a habit, you know, a new habit, a healthy habit for yourself. Because we don't earn when we can't learn. You're not going to keep earning on the level that you're not going to increase your earning on the level that you're on. You know, I don't know where people get these concepts from, that they can stay there. You know, even the children of Israel, we're going to go back to Egypt. But what you going to do there? Okay, so you've been freed from slavery, so you think you're going to go back as an unfree slave to go back to the place that enslaved you, and they're going to leave you free? What are we doing? What are we even talking about? And you know what? Part of that conversation I'm sure stemmed from those that were a part of Egypt. Think about this. I'm sure part of that conversation rose from the mixed multitude. We're going back to Egypt. But in them saying it, everybody else like, yeah, let's go back to Egypt. Yeah, they might get away with being free when they get there, but you won't. There's a lot of things that people can decide to do that it may look like they're getting by, it may look like they're getting away, but you try it and you're going to fail miserably. Like, wow, why they get to do, the Father chastises those whom he loves. That's the word. He chastises those he loves. I had a whole conversation with somebody yesterday about why people get to do. And I'm like, because the Father created us to be able to do. That's why. It's not that he's some unrighteous father. When people sin is full, he'll deal with it, especially if it affects the momentum of his sons. He's going to deal with it. He's going to put something in us to even stand up and deal with it. You know? But based on how we're moving, some things happen just based on how we're moving. Yeah, and what we're beholden to. If the Father knows how to bring us out of a place, if we cry out, if we cry out, he's going to hear us. If we think we can do it by ourselves, he's going to let us. You hear what I said? If you cry out from a position, he's going to hear you. And he's going to answer. He's going to come to your aid. But if you think you can do it by yourself, he's going to let you. Because he gave you the same ability that he has in us to make decisions. That's to have a dominion. There's a dominance in your spirit about how you're moving. Now, we shouldn't be dominating over people or lording over people. But there's a place of dominance in you that causes you to put things in perspective, put things under, the microscope and say, okay, this needs to go here, that needs to go there. That's all a part of your dominion. You may only be using it in small areas right now, but at some point you'll realize that he's just using those small areas to train you for bigger things. Yeah. I'm excited about his word today. I'm excited about what he's doing in us, with the work that's happening in us, because the thing that's outside of us has already been done. It's the thing that's at work in us that's being done. We're undergoing surgery every day. This transformation, this manifestation of this transformation is just, it's an amazing place. Hey, Carter. It's amazing. It comes with pain. It comes with gain. It comes with laughter. It comes with tears. I literally woke up this morning in that presence when I wanted to cry. I couldn't find the tears for it, but I felt cry-ish. Like, shoot, this is painful. And I got the baby like just nestled under me. I'm trying not to disturb him, but it's worth it. It's worth it. The pain, if you put it in perspective, you'll understand that there's a process and it's worth it. What's going to come of it is worth it. But like Rontina said, and I think this might be one of the points of you remembering, Elder, that we'll choose the pain of doing the wrong thing. No one is going to cost us something. No one is going to hurt us more than it loves us. This is going to hurt. Whether it's gas or acid reflux or whatever it is that this thing is going to cause, headache, bloating, whatever, I'm eating this. Because in the moment, I'm going to enjoy it, but the pain I'm going to feel after it. So we'll choose the negative pain, but not the positive pain. That speaks volumes concerning our psychological position. It speaks volumes concerning the psychological position. I'm going to pray and see what the Father would say about us next week, discussing the mentality, the mental structure of things, because I think in the kingdom, we don't deal enough with our mental wellness. We don't deal enough with our mental health. We talk about it, we hit on it, here and there, but the Father desires us to be whole in our mental, in our psychological place, that your physical body, your mentality, all of that. We don't deal enough with the mental. That's why there's a vacillation, it's a going back and forth between things. One minute we cold, one minute we hot, one minute we in, one minute we out. One minute we feeling it, one minute we not. That speaks to the mentality, the mental position, the mental health, you know. We got to regain our mind. We got to gain the territory of our mind and kick everything out of that place that is causing that vacillation. You know, kicking those things out of our minds, our hearts, kicking them out. We're going to do an excavation. We're going to clear the land. We're going to grade the land next week. We're going to grade the land and deal with these spirits that are coming to cause us to lose our position, lose our footing, lose our posture. Because, again, it's that dealing with the identity, because we can't change the image. He knows who we are. And, you know, that's the funniest thing, because even though people change their constitution, how they were created, he still created you, so you're still an imager. You're just reflecting the image that he didn't give you. So you're still an imager. So now you're responsible for reflecting the wrong image completely, because we reflect the wrong image without even a change of our constitution, our physical constitution. We reflect the wrong image even without it. But now, not only are you going to reflect the wrong image, but you're going to change the whole reflection of you, the whole expression of you. Wow. But it's nothing new. The enemy's always done it. We think that this stuff is new. This is old news. It's been around. It's been the case. Not new at all. It's just re-emerging on a level that we haven't seen before. You know, things die down and then they re-emerge. It's a process. They go back to a place. The enemy is still adamant about what he wants, and that's the seed, you know? That's the seed. He knew to keep them out of promise was to keep them from having a place of dominion that would influence other nations. And that was what the Father wanted, was to put them in a position of influence. That's what he wants to do with you, put you in a place of influence. Yeah. Because how you live influences people. What you do influences people. What you say is an influence. So the Father wants to put you in a place of influence. As a son, that's what he wants to do with his son. He wants to cause us to bring influence into the earth that people see and say, I want to do that. It's the same thing as the master did. He's walking on water. Peter says, you're influencing me. I want to do what you're doing. Influence. And affluence is after influence. It's not before it. It's not before it. The Father said to me yesterday, he said, I'm leaking information into the mainstream concerning my power to those whom I'm with. You know, how information gets leaked. You're like, how did that get leaked? You know, trying to keep something, conceal something. There have been things that have been concealed. We've been chambered for a season and all of that, and now information is leaking. Oh, you haven't considered some things because you just thought that this is what you need to consider. But I got sons that are on the rise that you don't even have a clue what's coming for you. Adversary, you have no clue. We've been prepared. These are like David. These are like Elijah. These are like, you know, they that kind. You know, they that kind. Treacherous. Treacherous. My God. They leap over walls. They run through troops. You know, listen. These are treacherous. And that all starts in the prayer place, but is realized naturally by those instructions and directions that come out of the place of prayer and meditation. Something we have to actualize, not just have a conversation about. Father, we thank you this morning for what you're speaking to us. We recognize that we have to pull ourselves together. As you're saying things, we have to see those things that you're saying. They're images that are given to us. And as you are giving us the images for what you're saying, we have to pull ourselves together and identify the instructions to become that thing that you're talking to us about. The king thing wants worship. We know throughout the scripture we see kings and their desire for worship and their desire to bring the people under that subjugation. We see that even as the master is challenged in his fasting and his prayer time in that 40-day, 40-night window, that there are things that are messing with his mind. You know, the adversary is messing with him, trying to talk to him, have other discussions. The same way he did that first Adam, he's doing this with the second Adam in the wilderness, talking to him, giving him these options. We don't want the options of darkness. We only want to do the things that are of light. We recognize there may be some extra steps on this side of the fence, but they're worth it. The extra steps are worth it. That process is worth it to us. We don't want to skip steps and skip the process and get to a place where we cannot maintain or sustain the thing that you called us to. We want to be good stewards. We want to be good managers. And so we thank you for the strength in this hour to go through those processes. We thank you for the grace, that God ability to accomplish every milestone in the process. We thank you now that you've given us authority over darkness and over every creeping thing and over every flying thing, everything that creeps and crawls, whether it's under the water or on the land, or whether it flies in the sky. You've given us control and dominion over that. That would include supernatural entities, because they do the same. It's in this hand, baby, and I hear a beat. I hear your beat there. Hallelujah. You've given us that authority, and we thank you for it now. We thank you for the roar that's coming from the sun, this sound that's going to cause us to rebound from the places that we've been. Hallelujah. We thank you. Hang it there. We thank you, man. And we receive the fruit of the labor that you're calling us to. We position ourselves to receive the fruit of that labor. Yeah. We're realizing what warfare is really about. Warfare is not just from the position of prayer, but it's from the position of action. The Father was sharing something with me the other day, because I was feeling just a little bit of pressure about some things, and the Father said, this is warfare. So some warfare costs something, you know? Even if it's, we were talking about this the other day, even if you never lift the sword or you never have to protect yourself with the shield, you're just making sounds or whatever you're doing, warfare costs, because even if you're wearing it, you're going to either sweat or it's going to be heavy. The carry is going to be heavy, but warfare costs something. And he was likening it to finances for me the other day, when he said there's a warfare that requires finances, you know? Yeah, there's warfare that requires finances. Hey, you. There's warfare that requires finances. You know, when Paul was an apostle and the people were following his leadership, that warfare over poverty, there was a warfare that was to unseat poverty amongst them. And how he unseated poverty was the people brought, you know, what they were giving and set it at his feet, and it was distributed. So anybody that came into that fellowship, into that place, into that connection, they had something. But it took something to have it, you know. It took something. This was about finances. This was about land. This was about territory. This was about all of that, you know. And that was a part of the warfare, but it was warfare against the poverty that they had been, you know, accustomed to before, that they had seen before. It took time for the master to open. Okay. It took time for the master to unseat those authorities that people in captive places. The woman that was bent over. Well, it took time. Let me get it. He had to sow his time into that situation. To do the thing that he was called to do, it took time, and that was a part of the warfare. It wasn't just him praying for people. You didn't see him going through the city praying for folks. He was going through the city to bring people. We're going to cut all of those up today. Back to he was bringing those people to a place by his actions, not just his words. His words actually often followed what he was doing for them. You know, the go and sin no more was the prayer part. That was the prayer part. Go and sin no more. But his actions, the warfare began with his actions. So it's not a one-size-fits-all. There are, you know, instructions and directions on how to do these things, and the Father will give them, not because we're sitting necessarily waiting, but he'll lead you in a way. You just go, and when you get there, it's like when he said, when you open your mouth, I'll fill it. You know, sometimes we're waiting on a thing that he's already provided the answer for. We just need to go in a direction so that we can realize that direction, realize what he's calling us to. So we are thankful that we're becoming sensitive to the direction. We're thankful for that this morning. We are thankful. I love y'all. Anybody got anything they want to share before we get off? We'll be on tomorrow at 8 a.m. It is. Peace to your house. The body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. We need to get to accomplish it. And we need to accomplish it. That's what we're going to do. I'm excited about you. See y'all tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Peace. Love y'all.
Peace. Love you.
Peace.
Love you all.
Love you more.